All who step forward to address race relations say they do it in the search for equality, justice, and fairness. My next guest, with his book and through his online outlet, points out how many among those proclaimers are in fact seeking financial betterment only for themselves and actually turning their backs on the people and the cause that they claim to be standing with. He writes about who these people are and their method of personal gain in his book, Race Pimping, the Multi-Trillion Dollar Business of Liberalism. His online outlet is The Black Sphere. He's also a syndicated radio host, Kevin Jackson. Good morning, Kevin.
Doing great. Good to be with you.
And Kevin's website for the book, racepimping.com, and his online outlet, theblacksphere.net. That's a .net at the end of that one. And everyone always talks, Kevin, about the sex on the street and the money and pimping on that. But when you look at what you, the people you write about in Race Pimping, those pimps on the street, they might be driving those flashy cars and wearing those mink coats, but they're getting the short end of the change here because, man, there's some money in race pimping, ain't there?
Yeah, the pimps are in D.C., and the prostitutes, if you will, are the people listening to our program. It's us. It's all of the tax-paying, gun-loving, Bible-thumping American citizens who want to do things right. And if you don't believe me, just find out when they call National Tax Day as the day that you stop paying the government and start working for yourself. And the idea that you can't control where your money goes, the government says, I'm going to go spend money understanding the what happens when prostitutes get drunk and they spend $2 million on some nonsense like that, and you can do nothing. You know, so, and the idea of the book, honestly, was I wrote it with this idea around race, because race pimping has created this. In other words, everything that gets funded is funded because of a small group of people who are very boisterous. So I could have called it, you know, gender pimping for the LGBT or the female community, race pimping for blacks or Hispanics, or just pimping in general. But the fact of the matter is the government is pimping us. And they will use whatever special interest they can use, old people, kids, the environment, birds, you name it, to get what they want. And they do it all in the name, and most of it's done in the name of diversity. And the money that gets spent in academia, for example, in diversity. Look, go do yourself a favor. Go to whatever college or alma mater, I'm telling your listeners, you went to. Find out how much they spend in the ethnic, you know, ethnocentric departments, you know, black studies, this studies, or whatever. You'll find out they teach nothing but racism in those classes. You finance it, and that is one of the biggest budget increases every year, that department, because we are financing it ourselves and teaching it. Go to your company that you work for. Find out how much money they spend defending frivolous lawsuits around race and things like this when your job is just to come to work, make the product, and go home, and not for the company to become a social engineering ground for you. And if you look at all of these things added up, that is the demise of this country. We stop focusing on the idea that America is a mosaic, and it's made up of all races and cultures. It's the least racist country on the planet, and I can prove that to anybody. And yet we are constantly talking about race. And ask the citizens of Ferguson and the citizens of Missouri how much they spent on race pimps that came and protected a thug who tried to kill a cop, and they got a $14 million bill. Ask Baltimore what they're going to spend. They've already spent some. They got more coming. And then where's the next place that race is going to come into play?
Well, you mentioned Ferguson and Baltimore. That shows a great, I guess, foundation if to be a successful race pimp, you have to pick your spots because obviously, and you know, initially when you hear of a cop shooting someone, at least at the initial part of the story, as a civilian, innocent until proven guilty, you have a concern, and human nature being what it is, but that's where the race pimps converged on the Fergusons. When you look at the black-on-black crime happening in Baltimore, you don't see Sharpton, you don't see Jackson, you don't see any of the race pimps down there because they know that's a losing proposition for them over there.
First of all, black-on-black crime happening in Baltimore, that's one of the places it happens all over the country.
Yeah.
And nobody says a word. And that's a perfect example of, you know, where there's no money, there is no race pimping. And so the book itself is really just a fun little romp of, hey, you white people, you too can join in, you know, into the race pimping. I literally started that book out as a ShamWow commercial, and I was going to sell it at the back of the room when I give speeches. I wasn't going to sell it. I was going to make it a 15-20 page little thing as a joke. We wrote it as a blog, and it got to be so intriguing. I kept writing, And, you know, my style is sarcastic anyway. In our family, we speak lots of languages, but our first language is sarcasm. So when I started writing it, I thought, man, this is hysterical. So we were going to give it away as a pamphlet when I did training sessions on how to be good, solid conservatives with backbones and male genitalia, you know, for those out there fighting the good fight. And it just got a little longer and a little longer. And finally, it got to the point where I said, you know what, let me just make it into a book. I'll put it together in chapters and try to piece it together in such a way that, you know, it would be fun. So there's a chart in there that where you can measure your blackness. As I teach you how to become black and a race pimp, you can measure yourself from time to time. You know, see if you speak the lingo of the race pimps. So it's a lot of fun is what it amounts to.
So even white boy like me can have a chance of being a race pimp.
Absolutely. If Chris Matthews can do it, you can do it.
Talking with Kevin Jackson in his book, Race Pimping, Multi-Trillion-Dollar Business of Liberalism. Online, it's The Black Sphere. He's also a syndicated radio host, racepimping.com, theblacksphere.net. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. For those who are being, quote unquote, embraced by the race pimps, they're given this feeling of, oh, somebody cares, someone's going to put me to the front of the line for having me do less. But in fact, aren't the race pimps victimizing the people they're saying that they're trying to help?
Of course they are. I mean, think about it. In order to pimp somebody, and I don't want to get people all up in the business of it, but the fact of the matter is, in order to make that happen, that person has to have low self-esteem. You're not going to take some girl who had a great dad and, you know, he put a sense of honor and virtue in her and a great mom, and they had a great family life. And I mean, that's rare. It's very rare that those kids act out. It's when you've got somebody that doesn't have a father, doesn't have a mother, looking for something. And what you're seeing is a lot the way that the culture has become. That's what we've created. So it's easy to pimp black folks. Now, what do you do when you want to pimp somebody like you, who probably grew up okay, or a lot of people in your audience?
Right.
Well, I have to demean you. I have to make you feel like you're less. Oh, you're a white guy. You've got white privilege. You know, you've got an advantage by birth. Now, you could have been born on the other side of the tracks, grown up with me wearing pants three sizes too small in your brother's tennis shoes, or shoes that you cut the feet out of the front because your foot grew too fast before your parents could afford more. But that doesn't matter. You still have an advantage. So I have to demean you. I have to make you feel small. With women, I have to say, you've got a disadvantage. You make a smaller amount of money than somebody. And once I get inside of your brain and make you understand that you need me, now I can pimp you.
When you look at the race pimps themselves, I mean, is it safe to say now that Jesse Jackson's sort of been the race pimping equivalent of a Mickey Mantle, retired well past his prime, but he's like the emissary. He's like the emissary, and now you have the next generation, although Sharpton, I guess, is up there in years now too, but Sharpton's the leader of the pack, and you have a lot of the, I guess, one's going for Rookie of the Year awards now.
Right. You know, it's funny. I may have to do something along those lines. That's a great way to put it. Yeah, I would say Jesse's I put it more in boxing terms. He's a retired boxer who keeps trying to get back in the ring, and he's getting his butt kicked.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
That may be more fitting for him. Sharpton is a guy that's, you know, he had a belt. He's lost it, but he's still in the stable to fight because he can still make a check. But the champs of all time are the Barack Obamas and so. And of course, the up and comers are people like Mark Lamont Hill and Van Jones and others. But they're all over. And in every city, I guarantee you have one. In every major city, in Dallas, it's a guy named John Wiley Price. In Houston, it's a guy named Quanell X. Go to your big city, find out who's one of the big aldermen, who's got a big name. You're going to find your race pimp. And what's interesting about them is they don't have aspirations necessarily to get into politics or to go higher. They actually like the way they get treated in their communities. They get treated like gods, man. They get driven around. They get special treatment. And in many cases, they end up going to prison. But there's always somebody filling the void. And I'm telling you, people think I'm joking when I say this. There is a system in place for these people. Politicians know how to use them. They will get them to stir up the messes of Ferguson and Baltimore behind the scenes. They know who they are. They're very useful to the politician.
And there are the enablers. You mentioned Chris Matthews earlier, who do it out of fear of not wanting to be called a racist, so they jump on board with, in fact, the races, whether it be through race or through social structure, whatever the case may be. Now, Kevin does with his book, Race Pimping, the Multi-Trillion Dollar Business of Liberalism. Mentioned he has some laughs along the way, but there is a standard ancient rule of comedy. There is truth at the foundation of every humor, and race pimping, the truth is there, and it makes raises your awareness, and you have a little laugh along the way too, but it just shows one of the elements that's shaking up society and creating unfairness where the claim is to be equal and fair, and you have the collision of the two ideas. But Kevin does bring you the truth with Race Pimping, the Multi-Trillion Dollar Business of Liberalism, with racepimping.com for the book, and Kevin's online presence, The Black Sphere, is theblacksphere.net. You can also hook into his radio show that way as well. Kevin Jackson, thanks for being here this morning.
My pleasure. You take care.